Okay, today's daf is Arachin Daf Chav Dalid. We are holding on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. The Mishnah, first of all, today's shir is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and we thank Dr. Lander so much again for the sponsorship. The Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amid Beis is going to talk about what we leave a guy with when we take his possessions to pay off his Erech Vow, meaning we're going to take things from him as payment, as a mashkon, to pay off the Erech Vow. So is there anything that we cannot take from him that we have to leave him with when we take the rest of his possessions? Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Aleph, once we explain our Mishnah, if a person is makdish or sells his nechassim, whether we assume that tefillin are included or not, meaning when he's giving his possessions, are tefillin a possession or is tefillin external to the rest of a person's possessions? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how you cannot take the stuff that, but the Mishnah rather, the next Mishnah is going to talk about how you cannot take the stuff that belongs to his wife and kids. You can take his own stuff when you take the mashkon, but not things that belong to his wife and his children. And that will bring us toward the end of the parak, and then we will begin Be'ezras Hashem the next parak of Maseches Arachin, the seventh parak of the Masechta, and the Mishnah is going to talk about being makdish, something within 2 years, being makdish estei achuza, particularly within 2 years of Yovel, within 2 years meaning 2 years before or within 2 years after, because we're going to discuss normally when a person is makdish estei achuza, the way to be poda it is for a certain size of property, you pay a certain sum of money. But the question is whether that applies within, whether you're allowed to be makdish it within 2 years on either side of the yovel. And then the Gemara is going to discuss if hektish is going to be chal when a person is makdish during the shnas hayovel itself, meaning this hektish chal when you're makdish in the actual Yovel year. We're going to bring a raya from our Mishnah, as well as rayas from other places, to that machlokas, whether hektish would be chal in that situation. So let's begin. We're holding at the Mishnah again on the bottom of Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. Afal Pisha Amru, even though the Mishnah had said in the previous parak, Chayavi Arachin Mimashkin Naso, that the Gizbar goes into the person's house and takes objects worth the value of the Erech against his will in order to pay off his Erech payment. So, Nosun Lo Mazon Shloshim Yom. We nevertheless leave him with enough food to last him for 30 days. The Pashas of Mashkin that it says over here is not really a Mashkon, it really means Gevia, really means that we collect it. So the Chas Titavit explains that first the Gizbar takes the objects as a mashkon, and after a certain time passes and he hasn't yet paid it, then Bezin takes those objects, sells them, and pays off the Erechov with that. So the Mishnah means, even though the Gizbar takes these objects as a mashkon, that's not the end of it. They take it and they sell it in Bezin. So, and then they leave him whatever we're about to enumerate in the Mishnah that we leave him with. So anyway, so even though we're mimashkin him, we do leave him food for 30 days, uksus shnemasra chodesh, and we leave him enough clothing that will last him for 12 months. The Rambam in Hilchos Arach in Perikimel says that means uksus, that's ra'u lo lefi ma'alaso. So if he has certain types of begadim, we give him that are well beyond, that are extravagant and well beyond what he needs, we will remove those, we'll take those away from him and replace them with cheaper begadim that are more appropriate for him. Kesef Mishnah says that even though the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that there's a machlokas tanaim and there are tanaim that hold kol Yisrael aru'uyim lebegadim ikarim, that all of the Jewish people are b'nei malachim and therefore we all deserve to have like royal clothing, but from the sugi over there, it seems that we don't paskin like that shita and tanaim. So we only give him the begadim that he needs based on his station in life. We also leave him mita mutzas. We leave him a bed with sheets and blankets, the sandalov, and we leave him with his shoes and utzvilov, and we leave him with his tefillin. the idea of leaving him with the sandalim, the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph tells us that typically a person would have shoes that he would have in the winter time to wear when it was raining out and there was a lot of mud in the road. So we leave him with whatever in addition to his summer shoes, his winter shoes, Mustama as well, and his tefillin. And all of these cases, if he doesn't have these things, we would leave him with enough money to be able to purchase these things. Lo, we leave him with these things. But we do not leave him for his wife and his children, even though he's obligated to pay for their mizonos and their ksus. That's not the that's his obligation. That's not money that we're going to leave him with. It's not his basic survival. So the Mishnah goes on to tell us that aside from the things that he needs for his basic physical existence, we also leave him things that he needs for his parnasa. If he happens to be an uman who does a particular trade, so we leave him two of each of the kalim that he requires for that trade. Charash, if he's a carpenter, we leave him two carpentry utensils and two other carpentry utensils. Matzadin are utensils that they smooth out pieces of wood with, and mageros are saws. Rabbi Lazar Omer, im haya ikar, if he's a farmer, nosin lo tzimdo, we leave him two animals, a pair of animals to plow with, because that's considered klei umnaso. Chamar, nosin lo chamoro, and if he's a donkey driver, we leave him with his donkey. But according to the Tanakama, we don't leave him with these things. The Gemara will explain why that is. I mean, Rabbi Lazar says that if he's a farmer, we give him these things, and if he's a donkey driver. But apparently, Tanakama disagrees with that. Min echad meruba, if he has one type of utensil that he needs, but he has more than two of it, he has plenty of it. Umin echad muad, and the other one he only has one of. Ein omrim limkar es hameruba velikach min amuad. We do not sell off one of the extra of the one that he has a lot of, and then provide him with another one of the one that he has too little of. Elenos lo shemina min amaruba. Rather, if he has, let's say, five saws and only one plane, and he's a carpenter, we will take away three of those saws and leave him with two, and he's also going to be left with only one plane. We're not going to have to be in charge of making sure that he gets a second plane for smoothing out his wood. He only had one before, so that's what he's going to remain with. Hamakdish nechasav, if a person in general is makdish all of his possessions, malinlo tfilav, his tfilin are included in that, and therefore we have to evaluate and assess the value of his tfilin, and he's gonna have to be paid to them for their value, because that's included in the hegdish. Now, we do not assume that his das was not to be makdish the tefillin, because he's assuming that when he's being makdish things, he's doing a mitzvah. So clearly his das, Tosfos Yontif points out, his das was to be makdish the tefillin as well. Rosh Hash writes that even if his das was not to be makdish the tefillin, they're kadosh anyway, because he said he's makdish all of his nechassim, and tefillin are part of his nechassim. He didn't mean it. Dvarim shebelev enim dvarim. We have to trust what he said and not what he meant. So says Gemara, my time, why is it that we leave him mazon and ksus and all these other things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Bayarachin, v'imachu me'erkecha, so hachiehu me'erkecha, that if he's mach, if he's poor, he can't afford it, so then we do the hesag yad. If he can't, if he's too poor, and he can't pay what it says in the Torah that he has to pay, he pays what he could afford to pay. So the Chum Darshan, v'imach, means if he's an ani, Who may erkecha? We darshin that he should still exist. May erkecha. Don't take from him that which he needs in order to be able to live. Avaloishto vanav. But we do not leave him with enough stuff to provide for his wife and his children. My taima. Why is it only for him that we leave mazon and Ksus and the rest. So Humeir Kacha Vlo Ishto Van of Meir Kacha. Same drasha. It says Humeir Kacha. So we darshin. Yeah, but not Ishto Van of Meir Kacha. Reb Lazar Amar Mahi Iker Nosin Lot Simdo. Reb Lazar says that if he's a farmer, so then we give him his whatever farming utensils he needs. Rabbanan Hanu Lav Klei Umnos Ninhu El Nchasim Ninhu. The Rabbanan would say that's not a Klei Umnos. Those are just Nchasim. They're like Stam Nchasim that he's allowed to be Nana from them even without being a Mefarnes. And the Torah doesn't say to leave him Nchasim. The Torah says to leave him what he needs in order to survive. Hayilo Min Echad. And then we said that if he has one type of Min, one type of Kli that he has many of, and another type of Kli that he doesn't have enough of, so we do not make sure that he has two of each. The one that he didn't have enough of, so no, he doesn't have enough of, and he's left with what he had before. So Pshita says, "Why isn't that Pashut? Why does the Mishnah have to tell me this?" Meaning, after all, if it was good enough for him to have only one hammer, for instance, up until this point, so it should be good enough for him to have one hammer after this point. Why would he suddenly need more than he had before? So no, I might have thought that since now, up until this point, let's say he had three saws, but only one hammer, since he had the ability to lend out a saw, he could borrow from someone else a hammer. But now that he has nothing to lend out to other people, he's not going to be able to borrow that which he's missing, and therefore we need to make sure he has two of each. So kamashmalan. That's why the Mishnah tells me that we're not choshish for that. You could still take whatever extras he has of one item, and you don't have to buy him. You don't have to replace the item that he doesn't have enough of. The reason we're not choshish for that is not explicit in the Gemara, but probably because the extra kli is not kli umnaso, which he gets his parnasa. It's just gorim that other people will help him with his parnasa. But since it's not direct, that's not directly how he gets his parnasa, that's why it's not going to be something that that we're responsible for. Hamakdash is the chas of malin lo tefillin. So we said the tefillin also have the tefillin also become hegdish when you're makdish the rest of your nechasim, and therefore, since the tefillin also become hegdish, he's gonna have to be poda them back from hegdish. So gavr d'zabrinu l'nichsei. There was a guy who sold his nechasim asal kamed Rav Yemar, and he came to Rav Yemar, and he was wearing tefillin at the time. So Amar Lahu, so Rav Yemar said to the people who were standing there, "Sliku le tefilav, take off his tefillin from his head until he's poda them from the guy who purchased them, because tefillin are included in his nechasim. If he said he's selling all of his nechasim, tefillin are included." Says Amar Mike. What's the big chiddush of this? This is beferish in the Mishnah. Meaning, what's the Gemara being mechadish when it tells us this maisa? That has to be the question. The question cannot be, what's the chiddush of this maisa? Because what did you want Rav Yemar to do? Not paskin the shayla because it's a Mishnah? Meaning, the shayla came to him, so he had to paskin the shayla. No, what the Gemara is asking is, why would we report this shayla as if this story is telling us something new? It doesn't seem that there's any news over here, because it's beferish in the Mishnah. So says Gemara, because the Mishnah says hamakdish nechasim al not tefilav. So Gemara says, no, it's not the same. Mal d'teim hashem with the suffer mitzvah ka'avidna aval inyan zvune mitzvah d'gufei lo zabininish kamash malan. I might have thought that that's only when it comes to being makdish is nechasim, since it's a mitzvah to give things to hegdish. So I might have thought, yeah, that's where he intended to give his tefillin as well. But when he's just selling his stuff, when he's selling his nechasim to somebody else, so I would naturally assume that that does not include his tefillin, because maybe his das was to not include his tefillin, since he's not doing a mitzvah anyway. So a couple of points to discuss over here before we move on to the last Mishnah in the Perek. First of all, the Mishnah is clear that we do leave people with whatever they need for their parnasa, and the Rambam adds in Hilchos Arachin we leave a guy a chair to sit on, and if they're poor, mito mapatz lishon alav, and the same is true by a Baal Chov. When we come to collect, we have to leave him with all of these same items what a person needs for his livelihood. But there is a machlokas rishonim. Let's say the person is a Talmud Chacham. Do we leave him with his svarim? Is that so? Do we leave a Baal Chov with his svarim when we come to collect from him. So in the Sefer HaTrumos, in Shar Aleph, Chelik Aleph, Oschas, he says that Yesh Omrim, that we leave him his svarim if he's a Talmid Chacham and he needs them, but if he's an Am Haaretz and only his children are Talmid Chachamim and they need it, then we don't leave it. Just like we don't leave Ksus Labanav, we only leave Ksus for himself, even though he's Chayiv in the Mizonos of his children. Then he quotes that there are those that are Cholik and hold that a Bal Chov can collect even the svarim that the guy himself needs, and we don't leave them for him, because at the time that he's chayiv to pay, everything that he has is meshubad, and he has to somehow prove that this was not meshubad. So since it doesn't say in the Mishnah that we're that all it says is that we leave him his tefillin, so we can't be mosif more things and say that other items of kedusha and other items of mitzvah we leave him with. The reason we leave him with tefillin is not because he does a mitzvah with them, but rather because it's a mitzvah that's specific to his guf, and is therefore considered a malbush, it's considered a ksus, and just like we leave him the rest of his ksus, we leave him his tefillin as well. However, the Chinuch writes in mitzvah Shin Nun that even if he's a Talmid Chacham and he doesn't have what to be mefarnes from, other than the schar limudo, so the mefarshim say that we do not leave him his farim, and we don't say, oh well, wait a second, but he needs this for his umnus, just like a farmer needs his farming instruments. The Talmid Chacham who teaches children, who teaches other people Torah, needs his svarim, because the svarim are not part of the klei umnus. So the Chinuch says that what you see from here is a raya that it's not the Rebbe's job to provide the books, that it's the Talmud's job to provide the books, which is a fascinating halachic insight to draw from here, that if we're only going to leave him his tefillin, but we're not going to leave him his svarim, aye, but aren't his svarim his klei umnus? So says the Sefer HaChinuch, no, because when and this l'chora should be the Sefer HaChinuch would suggest the halacha that when a school charges tuition, that the talmidim are still responsible for paying for the books. It is not the school, it is not the teacher that is supposed to provide the books. It should not be included in the cost of the tuition. I believe that is the minhag, that the talmidim have to pay separately in most yeshivas for their gemaras and their chumashim, and whatever the Mishnah Berurah or whatever halachas from that they use. In fact, in the Ma'oros Nasan, he was asked about this very issue. A Malamed who was masking himself to a Balabayas to teach his children different shiurim and shas and poskim, and the Malamed says that the Balabayas has to provide gemaras and shulchan aruch, whatever is needed. And the Balabayas says, what do you mean? Why am I paying you the big bucks? You're the one that's supposed to provide it, just like any other uman brings his own. I hire a carpenter. I don't have to provide him with the hammer. So he says it's not mavur in Shulchan Aruch, but in the Sefer HaChinuch this halacha is mavur, and therefore based on the Sefer HaChinuch that's what he paskin, that it's the Talmud's responsibility to provide it, not the Rebbe's responsibility to provide it. Another interesting thing that emerges over here is we said we leave him his ksus and sandalim. So in the Tshuvas Shar Ephraim, he was asked about someone who has agreed to be malbish es chavero, to provide clothing for someone else. And the other guy says, okay, this is the clothing bill and this is the shoe bill. And the Mekabel doesn't want to pay for the shoes. He said, I'm only going to pay for the clothing. So the question is, when you say that you're going to give malbush, does that include, is that assumed to include shoes as well? So he brings a raya from Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Samach that providing shoes is not included in malbush, because over there it says that someone who's malbush or maniel, an avodah zarah is chayiv. Now, if hanola is already included in halbasha, it could have just said hamalbish chayiv, and mela I would know that a maniel is chayiv. But he says, maybe that's not such a great raya. But he doesn't explain why it's not such a great raya. In the Tshuvas Chaim Sha'al, he explains that why it's not such a great raya, because it could be that hanola is bichlal malbush, but the Tan is being mechadish that even if he was only maniel the avodah zarah, he's chayiv, and he doesn't have to be malbish all of the levushim on the avodah zarah. In the Ola Yitzchak, he brings that this is what the Shar Ephraim meant, and then he says maybe it means something else as well, that it could be that there's an avodah zarah, that the derech avodah of that avodah zarah is only providing shoes for it, and there's an avodah zarah that the derech avodah is halbashas begadim on it. So the Tana tells us whether you're manil or malbish, each avodah zarah kederech avodah sa. So, how, However, the Ali Yitzchak says we do have a raya from our sugya, because it says someone who's makdish nechasa for marachas atzmo, so ein lo b'ksos ishto v'lo b'ksos panav, we're going to say v'lo b'tzevesh atzav l'shman lo b'sandalim chadashim shalach l'shman. So if mina'alim are b'chal malbush, why would we have to then mention sandalim separately from malbushim? So it must be that it's separate. Who cares? L'may nafkamina, whether mina'alim, okay, yeah, this nafkamina, if a guy agrees that he's going to be malbush as chavero, but I don't know how often that happens, but there's a much more practical and relevant nafkamina. The Gemara Mesach Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel tells us lo yehi malbushcha shel Shabbos ki malbushcha shel chol, that you should have separate Shabbos clothing. It shouldn't be the same as your weekday clothing. So the Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim raises the issue in Chelek Dalet or Chaim Simen Yud Gimel, do you need separate Shabbos shoes? So based on this, it would seem that you do need separate Shabbos shoes. In fact, there's a Tshuva in the Radvaz in Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Beis. He was asked whether you have to switch to nicer shoes l'kavod Shabbos, and he brings the Shai Ephraim that we mentioned, who discusses the Menalim, whether Menalim Rabbi Chal Malbush, and many other riots from all over Tanakh and Shas, and he says that it's really Mavur in the Yerushalmi, whether you need Shabbos shoes or not. Oh, great, it's Mavur in the Yerushalmi, that's going to be the best Raya. So what does the Yerushalmi say? Problem is, the Mefarshei Yerushalmi disagree about what the Pshat in the Yerushalmi is. The Lashon of the Yerushalmi is that Lav Urchei de Barnash mehavilei trin sandalin chad l'chol v'chad l'shabata. That it's not normal for a person to have two pairs of shoes, one for weekday, one for Shabbos. So what does that mean? Meaning, so the simple Pshat is, not normal. You don't need two pairs of shoes. You don't need a pair of Shabbos shoes. But some of the Farshim read it in a tone of bitmiha. What you think? Lav urchei de barnash. You think it's not normal for a person to have one pair of shoes for Shabbos, one pair of shoes for the weekday? Of course, it's normal for a person to have a separate pair of shoes for Shabbos and a weekday. So depending how you punctuate that Yerushalmi, what tone you read the Yerushalmi in, it will lead you to a very different maskana lehalacha. Okay, new Mishnah. So echad magdish nechasav, echad amarich atzmo, ein lo b'ksus ishto v'lo b'ksus banav. The gizbar does not have the right to take the guy's wife's clothing, nor his children's clothing, v'lo b'tzevesh shetzav l'shman, nor the color that he uses to color their clothing for his wife or for his children, even though they have not yet worn them. Rashi Misach Ksuba says that that because he was surveyor these clothing for the wife and the child, they automatically belong to the wife and the child, even though the wife and the child never actually wore them yet, never did a kinyan on them. So the Sma in Choshen Mishpat and Simen Sadi Zayin, Sivkot and Samech, and the Tzemach Tzedek, the Kadmon, the Tzemach Tzedek, not the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the Tshuva Simen Gimel, says that he bought the begadim for his own tzorech, and then he was surveyor them for the sake of the wife. So the women and the children are kona the begadim with a shinoi. That tzviya is considered enough of a shinoi, but if he initially bought it for his wife and his children, then you don't even need tzviya. Then it's pashut that it belongs to them, and therefore the gizbar of Hegdish is not allowed to take it. The Ketzosin, Simit Sadi Zayin, Sivkot Nidalid, disagrees, because he says shinoi is only kona by a ganav or a gazlan. We don't find that shinoi is kona in other circumstances. Okay, afal pisha Amru, even though we said avadim nimkarim b'ksusin l'shavach, that we use nichsei yisomim to buy nice clothing for an eved that belongs to the yasom, if we need to sell off the eved because it will fetch more money, the eved will be able to command a higher price if he looks more dignified, if he looks like he's wearing nicer clothing, shim tilakach lo ksus b'shoshim dinar, and it's a worthwhile investment because by spending an extra 30 dinar on clothing for the eved mishubach mana, you'll be able to command an extra 100 dinar in the price of the Eved. So even though we do say that, v'chein para, and we do the same thing when we sell a cow, imam tina nasal li'itlas, if we don't dress a cow, obviously, but if you wait for the Yom HaShuk, mishu bachasi, then you're going to be able to command a lot more money for it. So we would delay in selling the cow of the Yisomim until the Yom HaShuk, v'chein margulis, if there's a precious pearl, im malin nasal l'krach, if you bring it to the big city where gems are traded, mishu bachasi, we'll sell sell for more money. But when it comes to assessing a ma'arich, we don't do any of these things. If a person is ma'arich himself and he's an ani, you pay based on what he could afford. And if he has an eved that's sold for 20 zuz, for 20 zuz, we don't say that we'll view it as if we could buy. We don't assess the eved as being worth more than that, because if only we would spend 30 zuz buying clothing for him, he would command 50 zuz more, and therefore let's add 20 more zuz to his price. No, you ain the hegdish ella mekom of a shaito. That's the club. That hegdish is only zocha to mekom of a shaito, to what it is in the here and now, not based on what you would get if you were to delay, what you would get if you were to invest in making it look nicer. Now, one might have thought that, wait a second, are you really allowed to do this? Meaning, is that normal that you're allowed to buy nice clothing for the Eved and therefore run up his price? Aren't people overpaying? Doesn't the Gemara tell us in Maseches Bamitzia that Ein Mefarches in Es Adam Vabeim Vakelim, you're not allowed to make things look like they're more valuable than they actually are? So that's what the Achronim point out, that Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnah says that's to make it look like it's more valuable than it actually is, to try to deceive the potential buyers. That's not what's happening over here. Over here, you're just putting your best foot forward. I mean, that's like Mashal Mahadavar Doma. If you have holes in the wall of your house and you're trying to sell your house, so to put furniture in front of the holes in the wall, that would be deceitful and not right. But to sweep the floors, to clean up, and to tidy up the house in advance and make it look like a presentable place, that is not usur, adraba. That is a normal thing to do. And even though, if you were to leave it the way it normally is, someone would walk in and maybe would not pay the same price because they're not going to be able to get over that bias of how they first saw the house. But certainly, you're allowed to tidy up, you're allowed to clean up in order to present the house in its best light. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa that it says when a person is makdish a sde mikne, a field that he bought. So v'nasan es erkecha bayom hahu. So the pashas is telling us that the person who's being podes de mikne pays hegdish based on the number of years left until yovel. But from the fact that it says erkecha, so we darshan it about arachin as well. So in the lashon bayom hahu tells us shlo yisha margolis lekalim, that a person who's a poor person and he therefore is not going to pay the full erech payments. He's only going to pay hesag yado. So we evaluate it based on bayomahu, based on what that margalis could command today, not based on what it could get if I just waited to bring it to the market. Kodesh Lashem, and the hemshech of the pasuk says Kodesh Lashem. So stam hekdeshos lebedek habayis. That stam when something that's Kodesh Lashem, regular hekdesh, we assume the gizbar is not goes the Betek Abayis, the Gizbar is not allowed to wait to sell it for a later time, or to be Malbush the Eved and nicer Begadim, or to sell the Parah and the Yitlis or the Margalis and the Krach. Rather, you sell it right now, Lefi Mekamel Vishaito, because by waiting, it could be that Hegdish is going to lose out, because it could be that you'll lose the item or something else, the item will become damaged. So we have to sell it immediately. Okay, Hadron Alach Shuma Yisomim, now we begin Bezos Hashem, the seventh parak of Maseches Arachin. So, Ein Makdishin Lefnei Yovel Pachos Mishtei Shanim. We're not Makdish Estei Achuza less than 2 years before Yovel, V'lo Goelin Achara Yovel Pachos Mishona Achas. And we're not Goel afield after Yovel, less than 1 year after Yovel. Ein Mechashvin Chadashim LaHagdish. Someone who comes to Yipoda, a field of Hagdish, is not Mechashiv Chadashim, that you don't take months into account when you figure out the price of the field that you have to be they have to redeem it for. Aval hegdish mechashiv chadashim. But if there's going to be a benefit to hegdish to be mechashiv chadashim, then we would certainly count the month as well. So the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to explain what that means, why it would ever be that hegdish is going to benefit. Now, what all of this is assuming is what the Torah tells us about being makdish estei achuza, that it's a gzeres hakasav, that whether the field, it doesn't matter how valuable the actual field is, whether the field is a good field or a bad field, the pidyon of the hegdish is going to be the same. But you your poda based on how many years are left until Yovel. So it's the Torah says it's chamishim shekel for any field that you could plant a sa'ah of sa'orim in, meaning the size of property that you could plant a sa'ah of sa'orim in, you're supposed to redeem for chamishim shekel. Yeah, but that's chamishim shekel for an entire Yovel cycle, which means that for each year you give a sela upundion, one shekel plus 1/48 of a shekel. So that way it will work out that that you're giving 50 and an extra pundion for the shulchani, but it will turn out to 50 shekels for each year. But if 5 years have already passed, so then when you pode, you would take off from that price 5 shekels plus 5 pundionim v'chulei, based on the number of years that have passed by. Okay, so now the Gemara says minhu, but I'll ask you a steer on the brisa. Our Mishnah said that you're not makdish lefnei Yovel less than 2 years before Yovel, but the brisa tells us makdishin bein lefnei Yovel bein lachar Yovel ubishnasa Yovel atzmo lo yakdish vim higdishena kadosha, that you're allowed to be makdish before and after Yovel. Just during the Yovel year itself, you're not allowed to be makdish, and if you try, it's not even going to be hegdish. But you do see in the brisa that we're makdish shestei achuza even within 2 years of Yovel. So isn't that against our Mishnah? So says Mar Rav Shmuel Damri Tervayu ein makdish in ligal begirua pachos mishtei shanim. Now what it means is we don't use this giron kesef, this exact cheshbon, within 2 years of Yovel, because a person's makdish shestei achuza in the first year of the Yovel cycle, and he wants to be poded in that first year, he gives 50 slime for the entire land that you could plant a base core in. And if he wants to be poda 10 or 20 years after the Yovel, then we have to figure out how many years are left to the next Yovel, and he gives a selum pundion for each year that remains until the next Yovel. That's what we call girua, that we're megarea, the kesef apidion, based on the number of years until the following Yovel. But if a person is makdish's field less than 2 years before Yovel, we're not megarea at all. And when he wants to be poda it, he has to give the full chamishim slaim. So that's the limud, that we don't have a din of kirua within 2 years before Yovel, but certainly you could be makdish the field within 2 years before Yovel. V'kivadein makdishin ligal b'kirua pachas mishtei shanim, and since we cannot be poda with kirua less than 2 years before Yovel, the Tana is giving us an etza that yehei adam chasal nchasa v'al yakdish pachas mishtei shanim. It's a really bad idea to be makdish the field within 2 years of Yovel, because it's going to cost you a lot more money to be poda it. So that's what the Tana is telling us when it says that we do, when the Tana says that we're not makdish field within 2 years of Yovel. You can be makdish field, it's just a terrible idea to do so. Itmar hamakdish shadeu b'shnas Yovel atzma. What if a person is makdish field during Yovel itself? Rav Amar Kadosha, Rav says it is Kadosh, Venosin Chamishim, and you pay 50 slime for the Pidyon, Shmuel Amar Eina Kadosha Kalikr. And Shmuel says that it's not Kadosh at all. So, in addition to this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about being Makdish your field during Yovel, there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about someone who sells his field during Yovel itself. That Rav holds that the Mechira is Chal, but the Sada goes back right away to the Mocher, like all other fields that go back at Yovel, and the Lokech loses out all of his money. And Shmuel holds that the Mechira is not Chal at all, and the mocher has to return all the money to the lokech because it wasn't a mechira at all. So maskef l'Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asked bish lama le'inyan mechira. I understand when it comes to selling a field during Yovel, to palik Shmuel alei de Rav, that Shmuel is going to disagree with Rav, who holds that the mechira is chal, and Shmuel is going to say the mechira is not chal because he could lemeimar kal v'chomer. He could say that a kal v'chomer that the mechira should not be chal because the kal v'chomer should go like this: ma mechura kvar yotza achsh. If that which was sold previously goes back at Yovel, she'enu mechura, that which was not sold prior to the Yovel, enu din shaloti makir, certainly you shouldn't be able to effect such a sale at this point. Elahacha mi'ikal meimar, but when it comes to being makdish sadehu, mi'ikal meimar kal v'chomer, can you really say such a kal v'chomer that the hegdish should not be chal v'atnan? But the Mishnah tells us in tomorrow's daf, higia Yovel v'lo nigala, if the year of Yovel comes and he was not gobal the field, field from Hegdish to Halach is Kohanim Nechrasim Letocha V'nosim Demeha Div Rebbe Yehuda. Kohanim go and pay the value of the field to the Hegdish Bedek Abayis, and that's it. And since the field were Kadosh before Yovel, when Yovel comes, they do not go out from Hegdish without Pidyon, so you can't make any Kal V'chomer that a person who's Makdish today will be Yovel, that the Hegdish should not be Chal. Nothing happens automatically by Yovel. When it comes to a Mechira, so I understand the Kal V'chomer very well, that which was sold previously goes back, but that which was Hukdash previously does not go back, and therefore you don't have a Kal V'chomer about not being able to be Makdish during Yovel. So it says, Shmuel K'Rabbi Shimon Svirle, Shmuel must hold like Rabbi Shimon, Tamar Nechnasin V'lonosnin, that Rabbi Shimon holds that when Yovel year comes, if the field was not yet redeemed, the Kohanim go into the field and they do not have to pay any money to Hegdish. It goes out without any pidyon at all. And therefore, you could still say the same Kal V'chomer, that if a Sada that was already Kadosh before Yovel, nevertheless, when Yovel comes, will leave Hegdish without any pidyon. So a Sada that's not yet Kadosh before Yovel will for sure not be able to become Kadosh during the Yovel year. So it says more of a Rav. So what's Rav going to respond to that? Meaning, at least within Shitas Rabbi Shimon, shouldn't he agree that there is such a Kal V'chomer? So no, he does not. Sof, l'bay l'mika hadra, l'kohanim hu denafka, kohanim shulchan gavol kazachu. No, there's a big difference. It doesn't go back to the Bailim when you're Makdish a field and you were not poded by Yovel, even if you hold like Rabbi Shimon that the Kohanim don't have to pay for it, but it goes to the Kohanim. It doesn't undo the Hekdish. Undoing the Hekdish would mean that it would go back to the original Bailim, and therefore maybe you can be Makdish during the Yovel year because there is no such Kal V'chomer to be made, because we're talking about not being able to be Makdish it and having the Bailim be able to keep it. Kohanim get it Mishulchan Gavoa, meaning it's Ki'ilu, it remains Hagdish, that it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just sharing it with them. That's the expression that we have, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. You have that in a number of places in Shas, in many, many places in Shas. The Rashbates and the Magi Novos, in his commentary, Pirkei Avos says that this idea of Mishulchan Gavoa is Mekuyim Bizman Hazeh as well. When people sit by a shulchan and they eat and they say Divrei Torah, so the shulchan is chashuv k'mizbeach, that we know from a number of places, and from there the chum say that what is a shulchan that's domel mizbeach, a shulchan that they say Divrei Torah berabiman. So once you dorish Divrei Torah on a shulchan, and he says, and that's where the minna comes from, that at Sudas Mitzvah and gatherings people say Divrei Torah when they get together at Sudas Mitzvah. But anyway, over here it doesn't mean that. Over here it just means Mishulchan Gavol Kazachu, that it still belongs to Hegdish, that the Hegdish status is not undone, and therefore you don't have room for such a Kal V'chomer. My time at the Rav, what's Rav's basis for saying that someone is Makdish a field during Yovel, that it does work, that it is Kadosh, to Amar Kra, because the Pasuk said, meaning I would have said that the reason for Rav is that he just doesn't hold of Shmuel's Kal V'chomer. But apparently the Gemara thinks we need a positive reason for Rav. So to Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Im Mishnah Shnasayovel b'chal. So it sounds like Shnasayovel is included in being able to be Makdish a field. Ushmuel miksiv im bishnasayovel mi shnasayovel ksiv mishana sha'achar yovel. Mishnasayovel means starting the year after Yovel. So bishlam l'rav, I understand very well if you assume like Rav that im mishnasayovel means that you can be Makdish a field during Yovel itself, and then the Pasuk says, Vim Acher Yovel Yagdish, talks about being Makdish to your field after Yovel, Hainu Dechsiv, that's why the Pasuk says, Im Mishnas HaYovel, Vim Acher HaYovel, that you need two separate psukim, one about during Yovel, and one about after Yovel. El Shmuel, Mai Acher HaYovel, but according to Shmuel, even Mishnas HaYovel means after Yovel. So why then do I need another Pasuk that tells me about being Makdish after Yovel? So says Gemara, that according to Shmuel, the Pasuk of Vim Acher HaYovel is talking about the din of Girua is Acher Acher, that after two or three years from the time of Yovel, that's where the din of Girua kicks in, where you're going to deduct from the amount that you need to pay in order to be poda the field. So the Gemara is going to ask on Rav from a brisa that we mentioned before, Makdishin bein lefnei Yovel bein liachar Yovel b'shnas Yovel atzma lo yaktish vim hikdash eino kadosha, that the brisa said that during Yovel you cannot be Makdish and it is not kadosh if you try. So how is Rav going to deal with that brisa? So Rav will tell you, no, if you're Makdish a field during Yovel, the hikdash is chal. What the Brisa means is Eina Kedosha Begirua Ava Kedosha Nosun Chamishim, that it's not Kedosha in the sense that there is no Girua. You have to actually pay the full Chamishim in that case. Mechlal Delefnei Yovel Kedosha Ligol Begirua. Well, that implies that Delefnei Yovel, that when the Brisa says that you Makdish Lefnei Yovel, it means that Lefnei Yovel, it's Kadosh Almanas to be Goel Begirua, to be Poda with Giron Kesef. So it sounds like even if it's less than 2 years up until the Yovel comes, you're able to be Makdish a field with the idea that you're going to be Poda Begirun Kesef. But Harav Shmuel Zami Tavayu Ein Makdish in the Goel Begirua Pachas Mishne Shalim. But Rav and Shmuel both said you can't do that, that there is no Girua less than 2 years before Yovel. So Amal Harav, Rav would have to tell you, when the Brisa says Makdish and Lefnei HaYovel, it means that we're Makdish Asada Al Menas to be Poda with Chamishim Shkalim and not with Girua, just like both Rav and Shmuel said previously. When it says that you're Makdish Asada B'Shnas HaYovel itself, that it's not Kadosh, it means that it's not Kadosh at all. The Hekdish is not Chal. What about this Brisa? Isn't it a problem for me? Because I hold that if you're Makdish a field during Yovel, it is Kadosh. Hamani Rabbanan, this Brisa follows the sheet of the Rabbanan, who say when it comes to the Yisra of Achilas Chametz, that it says in the Torah that the Yisra is Miyom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i, that Miyom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i means after the first day, before the seventh day. But Yom Rishon and Yom HaShvi'i themselves are not included in that pasuk that expresses the Isra of Chametz. Why then is it Asur Tataki eat Chametz on the first and seventh day of Pesach? There's another pasuk that teaches us that, but from Yom Rishon Yom Rishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i does not include day one and day seven, and therefore, when it comes to being Makdish your field, the pasuk says, Im Mishnas Hayovel Yakdish. It must mean Mishnas Hayovel Ve'elach, after the Shnas Hayovel, but not including the Shnas Hayovel. Va'ano, but I happen to hold the Va'ano, the Amri Kirebi. I hold like Rebbe, who holds that when you say Miyom Rishon Ad Yom HaShvi, it includes day one and day seven, and therefore, when it's Mishnas Hayovel, includes the Yovel year itself. The Amar, because Rebbe is the one that holds HaRishon V'Rishon B'chlal, Shvi B'chlal. So Hachanami, Mishnas Ushnas Hayovel B'chlal, that whenever it gives bookmarks, it gives endpoints, bookends rather, it gives endpoints, we assume that those endpoints are included. So Rebbe put your Maya Vidite. But wait a second, if you're assuming like Rebbe, that means that that the Yovel year is included, which means that there are 50 potential years during the Yovel cycle that you can be Poda the Karka, that you could be Makdish Sada and be Poda the Sada. So why is it that when we do the Cheshbon of 50 shekel, so we always assume that for each year it's a shekel plus a pundion, because it's only 49 years that have to be divided by 50 shekel. But according to what we're saying now, that the Yovel year itself is included, isn't it 50 years and 50 shekels? So shouldn't it fit much more neatly as one shekel for each year? Why do we add that extra pundion? So it says Mar V'chi Tema Leslay, and if you're going to say that you don't have to add the pundion Vahatanan, but the Brisa says it's not really a Mishnah. Hik the Shtayim V'Shalashanim L'fnei Yovel Rebbe Omer Omer Ani Nosin Selo Pundion. Rebbe says that you give a Selo Pundion for each year that remains until Yovel. So you see that even according to Rebbe, you have to add a pundion for each year. Even Rebbe holds that Shnasi Yovel includes the Shnasi Yovel. So it's not just a bookend, but it's included in the Cheshbon. So says Gemara, what you have to say is Rebbe Krebi Yehuda Svirulei. Rebbe holds like the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda, Damar Shnas Chamishim, Ola Lekan Ulekan, that a Yovel cycle is in fact only 49 years, that the 50th year counts as the Yovel for the previous cycle, but also as the first year of the coming cycle. So the Gemara says, explains that according to Shmuel, you have to say that Rebbe holds like the Rabbanan, not like Rebbe Yehuda. The Shmuel, according to Shmuel, holds that by Yisteh Achuza, Rebbe is Moda, that the Pasuk Gimmi Shnas Yovel Yakdish means the year after Yovel, but the year of Yovel itself is not included in Hagdish. So Lema Rebbe Karabanan Svirulei, should we say that Rebbe holds like the Rabbanan that say that Shnas Yovel that passed is not included in the Cheshbon of the coming Yovel, and aside from the Shnas Yovel itself, there's another 49 years that go into the Cheshbon. So yeah, you have to say that Dika Rebbe Yehuda, because if Rebbe held like Rebbe Yehuda that there are only 49 years in the Yovel cycle, and the Yovel year is not included, Sela uste punzionos mi vaile. It should have been sela uste punzionos. So says Gemara, al karchach l'shmuel, Rabbi Karavan Sfirulei. Says Gemara, yeah, you have to say that. You have to say that according to Shmuel, Rabbi Taka holds like the shita of the Rabbanan. Otherwise, it's Taka not going to work out. Okay, we're way over time, so we're going to stop there. And Bez Hashem, tomorrow, we'll pick up with Tashema.